The room is listening. Adam is an animal. And just like an animal, the lowest type of animal that preys upon men. There is some type of creature which I don't think we are familiar with. It's called a kirum. And the word zulus means it's the lowliest of all the creatures. And this creature preys upon human beings. Levnei Adam. The pasuk is a metaphor. It's telling us that the rishaim of this world, they are equivalent to this creature called the re'im. Let's assume that it's the re'im. The re'im is a certain type of creature. If I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Nosson Salifkin, he is a very famous person today. He's a world-renowned expert in the biblical animals, in the study of the animals of Tanakh, in identifying them in relation to the modern day animals. And if I'm not mistaken, he has an entire you have the encyclopedia. So see if you can see the word re'im. He put out a book, the Mysterious Creatures of Tanakh, and one, he has an entire chapter devoted to the creature called the re'im. And I honestly don't remember what his conclusion was. All I remember was it was a fascinating discussion as to what the re'im is. It's a mystical creature. It's not a simple creature. All of the creatures of Tanakh, Yishno, are not what we think they are, like the Nesher. We think the Nesher is the eagle. It's not the eagle. It cannot possibly be the eagle. Some say the Nesher is more of a mystical creature. Or Esa Eskimal Kanfei Nishorim, Nesher. And there are many other creatures, the Re'im. If I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to bring back to memory. It could be he tries to suggest that the Re'im is the giraffe. Okay, mm-hmm. The giraffe. He has a whole discussion about this because the Re'im has one horn. I don't remember. This pasuk, though, according to the Mitzvah stuff, it appears is something very, very fascinating, that the Re'im is called the Zulus Levnei Adam. It's Kirum. Kirum is the letters as Resh Mem, which is short for the Re'im. Maybe not. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's a different animal. And the wicked people are being compared to this creature called the Re'im. We'll see again the words inside, which is this now a description. The Muslim is describing the nature of this creature. This creature is the lowliest of the low. And what it does is it preys upon humanity. That's exactly.
They took it from the Targum. Ka'aluka de matzitsa damhon divnei nasha.
Oh, it's an aluka. Aluka is a leech. It's like a vampire. A vampire that sucks the blood. Also, excellent. So therefore saying Kurum is not this mystical creature, the Re'im, even though we'll
it's
see
a lot.
Actually, the word luka, it refers to a wolf. It's Latin for wolf, like Lucas or Lucan or lycanthropy.
Lucas.
That's Lucas.
Very interesting. He's saying Lucas. That's an Aramaic term. You find the mother Mario says.
It's really not Aramaic. It's really Latin.
Latin, you have in the Gemara. The Gemara is Lucas. She, the matronitsa, the daughter of one of the Kohen Gadol. She took off the end of Masechta Sukkah. She took off her shoe, and she banged on the mizbeach, and she says, "Lucas, ad mosyata mechala memoinan shel Yisrael. How long will you consume the money of the Jewish people? People would spend so much money to bring korbanos, and they did not have what to eat." She called the mizbeach. She called it a lucas. So what?
Well,
kind of
it also was, means it also means light. Like Meir would be Lucas in a Roman name. So
it's some type of creature. What does it mean there? There, I think Rashi says it's a wolf. Okay, so you're saying very good. It's a certain type of creature. You know, you're saying something very interesting because I actually heard this on Shabbos. I heard someone speak on Shabbos. I don't know why they're talking about a wolf. They were speaking about a wolf. And they were describing the properties, the qualities of a wolf. A wolf is very intense in guarding its territory. many creatures, they don't care about territory. There are certain creatures that care about food, or they fear about competition. You have a dog. A dog walks down the street with its master. It sees another dog and barks. What's it barking about? It's barking. It feels threatened by another creature. Other animals, they just want food. Some animals, they want to mate with female animals. A wolf has the characteristic that it's very intense in guarding territory. And that's exactly why Binyamin is called a wolf. Binyamin Ze'ev Yitrof. Choyfeif Olav Kol Hayoyim. Binyamin very much wanted to guard its territory that it should have the Megillah. Binyamin wanted to guard its territory, that it should be the owner of the entire Beis HaMikdash. Binyamin's chelik stopped at the Mizbeach. In the Beis HaMikdash was divided between the property, the territory of Binyamin and the territory of Yehuda. And Binyamin wanted to swallow up the entire territory of the Beis HaMikdash, and it should be in his chelik. Choyfeif Olav Kol Hayoyim. Okay, so that's the quality of a wolf. A wolf, yeah? Yehuda's parts. Okay, you have to look in the Gemara exactly how it was divided. You have to look in the Gemara and understand how the territory was divided. But Binyamin wanted everything. Binyamin is compared to a wolf, and a wolf, it has a sense of territory. If that is true, I'm combining everything what everyone here said. Rav Kalman pointed out that in the Targum it says, it calls this creature that we are discussing, Kirum, Ke'aluka. Now, Aluka in our vocabulary means a leech. It means some type of worm that sucks blood. But Michal pointed out that the Gemara in the end of Masechta Sukkah says, Lucas, and Mosai Ato Nechale Menoinan Shel Yisrael. And there it's not referring to a worm, it's referring to something like a wolf. And if that is true, in the Targum of Yerush Lutz and Ka'aluka, it alludes to a wolf. It makes a lot of sense when it says here in the beginning of the Pasuk, Saviv Rishoim Yishalochun. Just like it says in reference to Binyamin, Choyfeif Olav Kol Hayoyim, Binyamin encircles the Har Habayis, Binyamin it guards its territory. The wicked here be compared to those type of people who are saviv reshoim yishalachon, they continuously encircle the territory, lurking, waiting to suck up and to destroy anything that comes into its property. Very similar to what it says about Yehuda, that Binyamin in the Beis HaMikdash, he was given the chelik of the Kodesh HaKodashim, and he wanted more. He wanted also to take for himself possession of the territory in which the Mizbeach was located right next to us. All right, let's look at the Mitzvah Stavid. The Mitzvah Stavid, this Pasuk says, the Mitzvah Stavid, it's a Pasuk test, the last Pasuk of this Mizmar. It begins let me find the place, on page 105, it says, Saviv ki harishayim, holchem esvivas ha'evyayim lulachta, the Risham may surround the poor man to trap him, kimoy, just like Herom Hazoilel. Now, I'm assuming this means a creature. Herom. Now, there's no ayin. Re'em is with an ayin. Here it says, Kimo, Herom Hazoilel. I'm assuming this is a creature. He doesn't say anything, he does not say anything in the Mitzvah Sion. The Herom that is a Zoilel, Asher Soivev Hoylech Litref B'nei Adam, which continuously attempts to trap and rip apart a person. Okay, including last week, that the egg has no hope. He has no hope. He's going to be devoured. He will be devoured. And the only hope he can possibly have this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to his rescue. Okay, that concludes the Mitzudos David. Now let's see Rashi. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasik and Pasik. Saviv Rishoim Yishalochun Lit Moin Mekshim Lehachshilein. David is speaking, and David's going back. Rashi's Lashita. So Rashi learns this entire section refers to David HaMelech. David and it refers to David HaMelech, and David HaMelech is running away from Shaul, and he's always being informed. He's always being victimized by his own people. His own friends betray him, and other people as well. They're always litmoin. They're hiding mikshim traps lahachshuleni to cause me to stumble. The next Rashi, the next page, kirum zulus livnei adam nikinasam, from their jealousy sheinam ra'a bigdulasi. They're jealous of me. Shenil kachti me'acharei hatzayn limloich. They're jealous that a person like me was uplifted to become the king. Vizel pisrein. This is what the pasuk here means. Kirum when kirum elevated. Zulus the lowly, livnei adam. In other words, kir she misreimein ish, when it happened that a person was elevated, hazoilel, that was considered lowly, be'enei b'nei adam, that's what makes them jealous. Zeu dugmas ha'amur b'makam acher, evan mo'asu ha'bainim, a stone that was detested by the builders, ha'isol roshpina. So in other words, he has an entirely different interpretation. The word kirum is not the name of an animal. The word rum means elevation. Roimimus, uplifted. Zulus means me. I was considered in the eyes of the world a lowlife, a nothing. We mentioned many times the story with David, David's brothers. David was assumed that David was a mamzer. I'll tell you the story very quickly. The story was, Yishai was a descendant of Rus HaMoavia. And at that time, it was not yet established the halacha that Amoini v'loy Amoinis, Moavi v'loy Amoinis, Lo Yavai Amoini u'Moavi b'kahal Hashem. This was debated for generations until it was decided. The halacha was clear that a descendant of a female, a person who's a female from Amon and Moav, is permitted Lovai b'kahal. But until the time of David HaMelech, this was not psak halacha. There was still a debate about this issue. And therefore, Yishai was concerned that he is not eligible, he's illegitimate to be part of Klal Yisrael. And not only is he he's illegitimate, so what did he do? He had an idea, a brilliant idea. He's going to live with a shifcha, a non-Jewish woman, a shifcha. And the law is that if a person, a Jew, if a Moavi lives with a shifcha, the child will follow the law of the shifcha. The yichus will be that the child will be a slave. And what is the halacha? Then he will release him from servitude. He will free the child, and then the child will be like a ger, an eved kenani. When the master releases the eved kenani from slavery, then the eved kenani has the same din as a ger tzedek and is mutu lovoi the kahal. Okay, he can't marry a koyin, but so in other words, Yishai was attempting to purify his seed. He felt he was married to a Jewish woman, and the fact that he is called an amoini, He was a Moavi, and the pasuk says Lo Yavai Amoini Moavi B'Kahal Hashem Ad Oilam. There's no way that his children will be legitimate in Klal Yisrael. So he had an idea. He'll live with a shifcha. He'll have a child with her. The child will have the status of an Eved Kenani, and then when the Eved Kenani will be released, will go free, it becomes a Ger Tzedek. And a Geret Tzedek is Mutu Lovai B'Kahal. So where is he going to get a shifcha? So he has one working in the house. So he tells his wife, he tells the shifcha, I am going to be separated from his wife. And he told the shifcha, I'm going to live with you. The shifcha was very close to his wife. And she felt guilty that her master is going to live with her. And it's going to cause pain to his real wife. So the shifcha went and told Yishai's wife what's going to happen. And she says, you know what? When he comes tonight, I'm not going to be here. You go in my place. You're his wife. The only thing was, they didn't tell this to Yishai. So Yishai lived with this woman. He thought he was living with a shifcha, but in truth, he was really living with his wife. What happened? His wife became pregnant. When she became pregnant, Yishai said, how in the world did you become pregnant? I have not been living with you for a long period of time. How did you become pregnant? I never gave you a divorce. And I didn't live with you. So there's only one way that you could become pregnant. You were mezaneh. You did an avera. And therefore, for zinus, what is Allah chayv Yisa? And number two, the child is a mamzer. A woman who has a child, a married woman that lives with another man that is not her husband, the child is a mamzer. So David was born from this union. David had seven brothers, and this was the eighth. And Yishai and David thought, Yishai thought that this child was born because was born as a mamzer. So what did he do? He wanted to get rid of him. He wanted that he should die. You can't just go murder him directly. So what did Yishai do? He sent him out as a shepherd to guard the sheep in the most dangerous part of the field, of the forest, where wolves and lions and wild animals roam around. Hopefully, David will be eaten alive by one of these wild animals. Not only did that not happen, not only did David come home every day with a lion, rip out the head of the lion and bring it home as a prize, he miraculously survived every time he thought that his father sent him out on a mission secretly, hoping that he would die because he was in his eyes a mamzer. He survived. And what? How can he do that? I don't know. He's not killing him, you're dying. He's not killing him, you're dying. I don't know. He was a mamzer. I don't know what to say. Yes, and a really tough question. I really don't know what to say. This is what it says in the Medrash, the very popular Medrash. One day, Shmuel shows up, and Shmuel says, Hashem told me to anoint one of Yishai's children as Melech. So I guess at this point, I guess that meant to say that the halacha is that a Moavi, v'loy Moavis. Okay, so maybe at this point in time already, when things settle down, they already decide the halacha is that all of Yishai's children are legitimate. I guess at this point it was a psak halacha, a clear psak halacha, that when it says in the Torah, Le'yavi Amoni Umovi Bikal Hashem, it only refers to the males, but females may come to Kal Hashem, which meant that Yishai, who is a descendant of Rus HaMoavia, is eligible, love of the Kal Hashem, and his children are eligible. And he had seven wonderful children. And Shmuel comes, and Shmuel thought the Bechor is going to be the Melech. And Hashem says to him, nope, that's not the one. He goes to the second child, the third child, nope. And he goes to all of the children. And then he says to Yishai, Hashem has rejected all seven of your children. Maybe you have another child. So Yishai says, the only other child that I have is a mamzer. He's out there in the field somewhere. We hope that he drops dead. He gets killed. And Yishai then says, guess what? He's not a mamzer. When you thought that you were living with the Shifcha, you really were living with your own wife. Your Shifcha told your wife what the plan, and your Shifcha backed out and swapped in your wife in her place. So really, this child that you think is a mamzer really is your legitimate child. This was the ultimate shock to the whole world. So David was viewed in the eyes of the whole world, the whole family, the whole community, as being the Zulus Livnei Adam, the lowliest of mankind. The lowliest of mankind is a mamzer, a product of sin. That was the assumption. People looked at David as being a lowlife, a mamzer. They tried to kill him. They didn't kill him biyodayim. They tried that he should die indirectly by sending him out into the dangerous places in the world, and he should get killed. And I told you, my name is Uri David. When David sent Uriah to the front lines, who gave him that idea? How do you know that? Because he was the victim of that very same idea. David was sent to the front lines all the time, hoping that he would be killed. So when Uriah did not show David respect, David sent Uriah to the front lines to be killed. And indeed, he was killed. Uriah did die in the front lines. But David survived. he was viewed in the eyes of the family and in the community and in the world as being the Zulus Livnei Adam, the lowliest of man. And it was a shock, the biggest shock in the world. He's going to be the Melech? Shmuel Hanavi comes and he says the name of Hashem. He's the one, anoint him, pour upon him, to carry him the flask of oil. That's right. The people could not stomach this. Their jealousy raged to such intensity that these people, they never lived down. And that's why now when Shaul was in hot pursuit of David, they were only too eager and excited to help Shaul eliminate this person, David, whom in their eyes they were jealous of. Because he was a lowlife in their eyes. And now he's kirum, rum miloshen roimimus. He was elevated to this exalted state of being the Melech of Klal Yisrael. So obviously Rashi has nothing to do with what we learned in the Mitzvah David, and we'll see others. Rashi does not like the unculus, as that was in the Targum. The word rum is not the name of an animal. The word rum means elevation. The word zulus is not defining the nature of this animal. Rather, Zulus is defined. David is saying this about himself. I was viewed, perceived in the eyes of Livnei Adam. Those three words, according to Rashi, go together. Zulus Livnei Adam. I was perceived by mankind as being the lowest of them all by other people. According to the Mitzvah David, the word Livnei, you separate the two words Livnei Adam from the word Zulus. You put the two words kirum zulus, just like this lowly creature, it preys upon human beings. According to Rashi, you know, it's kirum. When it was elevated, me, who's me? David. I was considered, I had the status of being the zulus livnei adam. And look what happened. I was uplifted and elevated to becoming a great person. And that my enemies cannot stomach this. The jealousy is burning within them. And they're desperately trying to eliminate me. And this is a marshal. This is what it means. The saviv rishon yisalachon. Okay, let's again see the words of Rashi.
Rabbi Levine. It would seem that this story or this version of the story, I have questions about it anyway. But it would seem to be a parallel with Yehuda and Tamar, his predecessor.
Right. Mashiach. Every step of Mashiach coming is bizarre, starting with Lot. How did Ammon and Moab come into existence? Lot and his two daughters. They thought the world has come to an end. No one's going to want to marry us. Or even if the world's not going to come to an end, no one's going to want to marry us. So what did they do? They gave their father Lot to drink. Right. He was intoxicated and they committed incest, the worst avir you can possibly do. And from that came Moab. And from Moab comes Yishai. And what does Yishai do? Yishai, you want to go back? Let's go step by step. Then comes
Yehuda and Tamar.
Yehuda and Tamar. No one has any on. How could it be Yehuda, one of the holy Shvatim, should go and look for a Zona? I mean, are you talking such a thing? Should go on the road and look for a Zona? And he doesn't even recognize that his own daughter-in-law, and he lives with her. And they have twins, and even the twins that come out, it was confusing. Who is the Bechor? Zerach, Peretz, Ma Poratz Delecha, Poretz. Who's the Bechor? The whole birth of Peretz is bizarre. Okay, and then Peretz goes down to the next bizarre sequence is Rus HaMovia, Boaz. Boaz is a descendant of Peretz, and Boaz lives with Rus. And who is Rus? Okay, and from Rus comes Yishai, and Yishai, again, the whole story of the birth of David again is bizarre. So the shalsheles, I'm missing a whole bunch of steps, but when you go down the shalsheles, the chain of the yichus of the Melech HaMashiach, it's always coming about in the most unexpected, bizarre way possible. Because that's the dug that Chazal said, the Melech HaMashiach will come beherifayim. No one will even imagine in their wildest dreams, this is the way Mashiach is going to come. We have everything all planned out. We all have it all planned out now that Russia is going to invade Ukraine. God. Everyone, I hear people are talking about all these from the Vilna Goin said this, and the Chazanish said this, and this one said this. And they got it all plotted out. This is the coming of Mashiach. Corona's Mashiach. World War II is Mashiach. Everyone who's going, who's mugged, if you go and you read some of these things, everyone got it all figured out. All we need now is a lunar eclipse or a solar eclipse to make, you know, to wrap it all together. Right, you got it all figured out. The truth is, we know nothing. Zero, zilch, zippo, nada, nothing. Just like the book of David HaMelech came about in the most bizarre way, and no one in their wildest dreams could think this to be the middle of Mashiach. As it says here in this first quote to Rashi, Kirum Zulus Levnei Adam, just like the whole birth of Amon Moab was bizarre, Lot and his two daughters. Just like you, then Tamar was bizarre. No one even imagined these things. All of these things, by the way, they all come together. The chance of one of these things happen is zero. The chance of all of these pieces coming together is zero multiplied by zero. And yet, all of these things are part of the process of the coming of Mashiach. So we could imagine the final Makir B'Patish, the last Makir B'Patish, you could imagine how much of a shock it's going to be. Okay? Going on the side. People need to talk about the coming of Mashiach, the Simon of Mashiach, Ikvis of the Mashiach. I once heard someone speak. I
really those people seem as very nice, but the problem is the beginning of the Pasuk. It says, Saviv Reshaim Mithalachu Kerum Zlut Livnei Adam. So my explanation is that the Reshaim as the Zulut, the lowest of Bnei Adam, and Hem Mitromimim, and they raised themselves, they became big shots. Saviv Reshaim Ya'aloz Halachu Kerum Zulut Kerum Kemosh Adam Mirim.
You're saying that the Reshaim that the whole pasuk is describing the wicked. The wicked are the lowliest of this world, and they rise up to the highest levels of prominence and power in this world. Hitler Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. He almost conquered the whole world. We're all survivors. In America, we're survivors. He wanted to come to America and kill all the Jews in America also. So you say that the wicked people are elevated to this exalted, the Zulus Livnei Adam are elevated, and when they're elevated, they begin to go and destroy the world. Saviv, anyone that wants to sever the Jews becomes elevated, like Haman, absolutely. But that's a whole different shot. Okay, that's not what Rashi says. Rashi over here is saying this about David. David is describing himself. I was considered in the eyes of the world as being lowly, and I was uplifted to this exalted state of greatness to become nothing less than the Melech of Klal Yisrael. And my enemies can't stomach this. And therefore, they continuously try to take me down, to destroy me, to ruin my life, to assassinate me, to inform upon me, do anything in their power to make sure that I perish and I'm eliminated from the world stage. Again, let's do the Rashi one more time. Okay. My enemies, the wicked. I'm reading over here on the Rashi, page 106, the last part of Rashi on this Mizmar Yud Beis. From their jealousy and their evil eye, when they witness my greatness, I was taken from the sheep. When Shmuel came to anoint a melech, he went through the list of all of Yishai's seven sons. And Hashem, he looked at the oldest son, and Shmuel says, oh, this is a melech, royalty, dignity, greatness. I see it in front of my eyes. And Hashem says to Shmuel, wrong. You got it wrong. This is not the one I had in mind. He then goes to the second son, the third son, and finally he comes down to the last. And Hashem says, no good. So Yishai says, Shmuel says to Yishai, do you have maybe another son? Yeah, he's with the sheep. The sheep. They had to go get him. I was taken, and then he goes on to explain that it says in the pasuk, Even Ma'asu Habayim Hayasal Rosh Bina, the stone that was detestable, it was tested by the builders, ended up being the cornerstone, ended up being the most significant stone of the entire building. Exactly the same principle. When he was elevated, this person was considered being lowly on the eyes of the people. Now we go to another pshat, whole a new pshat. Referring to the times of Mashiach, when they will be elevated. And in other words, it's the same idea, but we're now referring to David, we're referring to the nation of Klal Yisrael. We know that today, it doesn't take very much to go look around. There's a lot of anti-Semitism today, a terrible anti-Semitism today, unbelievable. There's a tremendous surge of anti-Semitism throughout the world, especially whenever people have tsaras, they have problems, the economy, lockdown, sickness, death, the whole pandemic. So what do? They got to blame someone. So who do they blame? They blame the Jews. There's nothing new. This Tachi Dargoy, Shalom, Jewish history, the Black Plague. The whole history, anytime people are frustrated with their own problems, they always have a need. Their hatred, their inner hatred comes out, and they blame it on the Jews. So the Jewish people have always been considered to be the lowliest of man from time immemorial. When Mashiach will come, it will be Kirum. We will be elevated. We who were considered, the nation that was considered to be the Zulus Livnei Adam, will be elevated to a state of exaltedness. Ali Yisrael le'asalava kishe Yisraelu. Now we go to a third interpretation in Rashi. U'menachem. Rashi's colleague, U'menachem Pasar, Kirum Zulus Livnei Adam, Kirein. Okay, so this is going back to what I said in the midst of the study. The word kirum is short for a creature called the re'im, with an aleph. Okay, I'm not sure which creature is. Maybe I'm making a mistake. There's another creature with an ayin. I don't remember. But there's a creature, a wild, mystical animal called a re'im.
That's with an aleph.
Fine, but now, okay. So again, I should have done my homework, but I know that he's a Salifkin. He has a very fascinating chapter on this creature. What is this creature? It's basically.
Does he call it a unicorn?
What is a unicorn? There is no such thing as a unicorn. That's a mythical creature. What's a unicorn? And one horn. The Adam HaRishon was makriv a shar, has only one horn. Okay, one horn. So it's medish. Adam, when he was created, he took an animal that had only one horn and he brought it as a carbon to Hashem. What does that mean? Christians are very into this. There's a whole, they have all this Torah on this, or whatever they want to say it means. What do we say it means? Is it a creature that exists today? There are many creatures that we know we don't understand. The Tachash, this week's parasha. And this week's parasha, look at the Mishkan. And what was the third cover? The three coverings on top of the Mishkan, and the third one was the Or Tachash. What is a Tachash? Rashi says it was multicolored, a beautiful creature that had a beautiful skin, a multicolored skin. And Rashi says this creature only existed in that time, in the time of the Mishkan, for the purpose of using it. And what did they do with the leftover? The leftovers? They made shoes. In fact, it's a fascinating midrashim. How could it be that you're allowed to go? You go to the Har Bayis. On the Har Bayis, you're not allowed to wear shoes. You're not allowed to wear shoes. Aren't you afraid that your feet are going to get pricked? In a public place, how could you not wear shoes? So it says in the Medrash, incredible Chiddush, you're allowed to wear Or Tachash. Shoes, there's a difference between regular shoes and wearing shoes made from Or Tachash. I don't know the lumbus. Special shoe from special material. This was from the leftover hides of the creature that they used to cover the Mishkan. Or Tachash. Targum says, interesting Targum says that Tachash is Lord Sos. He translates the word Tachash as Sos Goina. Rashi quotes this. What's Sos Goina? It is a creature that has, goina means gavon, it means multiple colors, multicolored hide, And this creature has pride. It takes pride and rejoices in its multicolored skin. Sos begavonim shaloi. What do we wear every single day? Tefillin. What does it say on the tefillin? What do we have on the top of the tefillin? There are two sins. There is the sin of the three heads and the sin of the four heads. Two sins. What do two sins spell? Sos. Last week we discussed this in reference to Bris Milah. Sos anochi al im rosecha kimotzei shalom ra. But another interpretation, we cover ourselves with the saskana. We rejoice, sos, in our multicolored relationship with Hashem. We, just like the Mishkan was covered, the uppermost layer of the Mishkan was the Or Tachash, and Tachash is translated by Unkelus as Sos Goina. It is Sos Begavonim Shaloi. We likewise cover our head with Tefillin, which upon is written embossed two sins, a sin that has three heads, a sin that has four heads, which spell the word Sos, to allude that just like the Mishkan was covered with the Sos Goina, we also cover ourselves with our version of the Sos Goina. And that's why we have two sins, because it's the uppermost covering. And where to get the Gavon, that's another story, but at least the Sos, the same, the pride. Sos means pride. This creature, the Tachash, had Gaiva the Kedusha. Chaim Berliner's here. Two Chaim Berliner's here. Gaiva the Kedusha. Sos, the Gavonim Shaloi. It took joy. It had pride in its relationship with Hashem. It's a very beautiful thing. The tefillin, on the tefillin, the roll called Am Eretz Kishem Hashem Nikolach of Yad Menachah. This is our pride. So what do we have on the tefillin? Two sins. Sos. The tefillin is the pride of the Jewish people. The Rahu called Amei Haaretz Kishem Hashem Nikra Olecha. This is the pride of Klal Yisrael. And the way that we show that pride is the two letters, Sus. Okay. So Pasa Kirum Zulus, now he's going now. Now he's going over here into this creature. There's a creature called Kirum Zulus L'Vnei Adam. Kireim Hazela L'Echel B'Nei Adam. There is a creature. And this creature is called the Re'im. And this creature, It has a special affinity to human meat, human flesh. It's delicious. It doesn't like steak. It doesn't like, you know, dog meat. It doesn't like any other meat. The only meat that it enjoys is human beings. And therefore, it lurks for people. The he rum. So therefore, Rashi here is coming up to explain the grammar of the Menachem. The word rum is kimo reim, ureim. Zulus kimo zolel v'savei, a glutton. A zolel person eats zolel. Savid rishon yistalachon. The enemy, the wicked people, they encircle us. Sevivai saani halchem odeshayim levaloi chinam. The wicked, they enjoy exploiting the poor. They lurk in the background, waiting when can they take advantage of the poor people for no good reason. Kirum, just like the creature called the reim, which is the Zulus. It's a lowly creature. It's a creature that is hungry. Zoylel Visere, it says about the Ben Livnei Adam. Okay, that's exactly what we're looking at the Stavit. And here Rashi in the third interpretation says the same thing. Okay, that's it. So that concludes the Rashi's. Basically, we come over here with three Mahalachim in. Well, this very important person called Pascha of Kirim, Zulus from the Adam, is either the Re'im, the creature, the Re'im, which is a Zulus, and it looks upon people, or we learn it refers to David HaMelech. David HaMelech says about himself, I was a lowly person. I was with the sheep. No one in a million years would expect I should be elevated to the status of the Melech of Klal Yisrael. Evan Shemuasu HaBoyim Hois L'Reshpina. And the third interpretation Rashi said was it refers to Klal Yisrael. The Jewish people in history have always been viewed on the bottom of the totem pole. We've always been viewed as being the Zulus of the Adam, but when Mashiach will come, we'll be Rum, we will be elevated. Okay, let's look at the Midrash Chazal. Okay, this talks about Kleichav Tzius. It's very appropriate thing, especially since this week's parasha. This week's parasha is Parashat Truma. It's all about building the Beis HaKnesses, which we discussed later on. And let's see what says in the Maamar Chazal. Maamar Chazal over here says, Kirum Zulusim Adam Amar Amar on page 106 in the very bottom, in the Likudei Shas. Kirum Zulusim Adam Amar Amar Yehudu Rabbanu Rabbi Abaye. Eitam Chacham says Rabbi Abaye. The Emeralds all say Rabbi Abaye. By Yitzhak. My, what is mean Kirum Zulusim Adam? Amar Lei Eilu Dvarim Shoyndim Diruvai Shaloylam. Going, the editor adds in from, I guess, from the farshim on the page, from my tefila, even the other mizal zilim bohem, people do not appreciate the kirch of tefila. Amu the Gemara, it's kirum, so it's a drasha, a typical type of medrash, where you take a couple of words out of context, and you make a drasha. We isolate these words, forget about what it says before, forget about what it says after. That's the derech of medrash. It's important you said, derech of medrash is isolate an expression, remove it from its context, and just elaborate upon it. It's very dangerous because when you dive in, 90, I don't know, keep numbers, making up numbers, let's say 90% of tefillah, where we extrapolate and we pull out of Tanakh psukim, and we say just a few words, we say an expression. The kavana is to say those few words, understanding its original context. We daven, we say certain words in the Shemoneh Esrei. These are words that have been pulled from Tanakh. And when you know the context of the words, you know what it said in the pasuk before, you know what it says in the entire chapter, you know what it says after, the words have a whole new flavor. You can't really appreciate davening unless you're a baki muflig in Tanakh. Because words are put together, and the words that are put together are just, they're just representatives of a much larger picture, a much larger concept. And also, that's exactly the point. When it comes to davening, you don't take the pasuk out of context. We, Chazal, the Anshei Knesset Gadol, extracted 3-4 words from a pasuk. And they put it in the middle of a bracha. Their kavana, it's clear, is if you know the entire chapter from where those three words were extracted, you'll then have a whole new appreciation of what you're praying for. That's the problem. You need a lifetime of study. It's not even a lifetime, but if a person would spend the time going through, yeah, on every single page in the city, it says in the article, tells you the footnotes, it tells you exactly where in Tanakh these three words were pulled from. If we were to go back and look up the entire pasuk, all the mafarshim, and then that would force us to look at the entire chapter and get a flavor and appreciation, and then you go back to the bracha, wow, it's a whole new bracha. It's a whole new bracha, a whole new world, because it was meant that the 3-4 words that we pull out of Tanakh carry with it its context. Medrash is just the opposite, completely the opposite. A medrash is where you go and you take a section of Nach or Tanakh and you completely pull a couple of words out of context. Do not look what it said before. Do not look what it said after. Isolate it, pure isolation. Take those few words, and these words, there's a Messiah, you just can't do this on your own. There's a tradition. Sinai are teaching you an entirely new concept. And that's exactly what we are doing over here. We're taking these four words out of context. We're ignoring what it says before, ignoring what it says after, and we're just making a drasha. Kirum Zulus Livnei Adam. What's the Messiah? Kirum. There are things in this world that are exalted. They're oimed birumoy shalayla. Koyach of davening, prayer. If only we appreciated the value of prayer, what it accomplishes, we would come an hour early every single day to Shabbos. We would never miss a minyan once in our lives. We would do everything in our power to make sure that we are able to concentrate, we are refreshed, we are in a frame of mind where we are prepared to daven. And what do? Zulus, zal. Zal means it's nothing. It's insignificant. We don't care about it. It's cheap. We come davening late, we leave early, we talk, we don't care. What difference does it make anyway? Livnei Adam, this is a common among mankind. Everyone suffers from this degree. It's a davar that is oimed berumoy shel olam, but bnei Adam make nothing out of it. Okay, so this is a very famous chazal, but I just want to point out over here that the medrash is, the funny thing is because, you know, the reason why I'm saying is because it's like almost like an oxymoron, because when you daven, the goal is not to take the tefillah out of context. And the drasha telling us the value of davening is doing just the opposite. It's taking it out of context. Okay, it's like totally two opposites. In tefillah, you don't take things out of context. When you say a couple of words, you bring in everything. And this expression is telling you the value of tefillah. And the way we're telling you about the value of tefillah is we're taking it out of context. The opposite, with isolating these four words and making this beautiful drash. Okay, next line, Chazal. The next words are, Rabbi Yochanan, I'm on the last small line, the last small line on page 106. Oma, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Tavayu, Kevon, Shnestarch Adam, Labriyos, Panav, Mishanus, Kikrum, Shenemar, Kirum, Zulus, Livnei Adam. My Kirum, what do you mean Kirum? Ki Os, Ravdimi, Omar, Oif, Echoyesh, Vikarche, Hayam, Uchirum Shemoi, the Kevin Shachamo Zarachas Misapich Lichama Galant many colors. Okay, so now this interpretation, I do not think is there referring over here to the same creature mentioned by Menachem, a Re'im? I don't think so. A Re'im, because over here it calls it a bird. You want to say the Menachem is referring to Kirum, refers that this creature is called a bird? I don't think so. It doesn't sound like it. The Re'im seems to be an animal, not a bird. It says that Shor. Hey, I don't know. But it would appear to be a different creature, a different Russia. And in this Russia, it's also out of context. The word Kirum is the name. Kirum is the name of a bird. And when this bird comes in contact with light, it lights up. It turns into molten. It turns into multiple colors. When a person becomes Zulus, which means it becomes lowly in the eyes of men. When does a person become a zal, cheap in the eyes of man? A collector. When a person becomes a taker. When a person becomes in a matzav where he needs handouts, he needs to receive charity. That is when he is looked down upon in the eyes of man. Man, you look up to people who give you. You don't look up to people who take from you. When a person, Rachmana Litzlam, becomes Zulus Livnei Adam, he is lowered, he is humbled, and he needs to come onto charity, then his face is put to shame. He's put to shame, and the shame causes his panim to change into multiple colors. Let's see the words again once over here. All right, before we wind down, so there was a maral I wanted to do at the beginning. I never did it. Let me just go back to that. No, that's not what I wanted to do. Let's forget about that. All right, well, maybe we'll just leave it with this. All right, we'll leave it with this. Okay, so we're going to stop here. And in Yirat Hashem tomorrow, we are going to begin Mizmar Yud Gimel.